Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, the show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show on this Saturday morning. Happy February, everybody, as we inch yet another day closer to Super Bowl 59. This is one of my least favorite weekends of the year, I think that's fair to say. Whether the Eagles are playing in it or not, it's baseball season hasn't really kicked into gear yet. We got regular season basketball, regular season hockey, but it doesn't move the needle a ton. We're still anticipating the Super Bowl, but we got no football this weekend, and no, the Pro Bowl does not count. No, the Senior Bowl and the, or the East-West Shrine Bowl or whatever other gimmicky games are going on this weekend does not count. This is one of the toughest weekends of the year, and especially when our Eagles are playing in it. It is, that NFC Championship already feels ages ago. I know it was just a week ago. You kind of react to it for a couple of days, and then we immediately turned our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's going to be another week. Eagles and Chiefs will both land in New Orleans tomorrow. Very excited to see the Super Bowl festivities unfold down there in the Big Easy. WIP, of course, will be there. The midday show and the afternoon show will be broadcasting Monday through Thursday from Radio Row, so excited to see all the content they will put out. And then, you know, as John Madden used to say, at the end of the week on Sunday at 6:30, a football game is going to break out. But we're 8 days from Super Bowl 59. Obviously very excited for it. And there are tons of storylines going into this thing. It's a Super Bowl rematch, Eagles and Chiefs. I do appreciate the parallels that we have a little bit from when the Eagles won Super Bowl 52. You know, when the Eagles won 7 years ago, it was a Super Bowl rematch as well, going against the New England Patriots. Now, those games were 13 years apart. So the only constant there was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, of course, the two most important figureheads of that dynasty. But there wasn't like any of the other players were still the same. This time around, they're playing the Chiefs 2 years later. A number of holdovers on both sides of the roster for both teams here. But it is similar in the sense that it's a rematch and it's a second chance yet again for an Eagles team to put another Lombardi trophy in the mantle down at the NovaCare Complex against a dynasty, a chance to not take down a dynasty, but take out a dynasty one given moment in time. And so my question here this morning at 215-592-9494, who do you believe has more pressure to win this game? Who do you believe has more pressure to win Super Bowl 59, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I believe it's the Eagles. What say you? 215-592-9494. I think you can make strong cases for both teams. There is a strong case for both teams why both teams here have more pressure in the game. We could start with the Chiefs. The obvious, they're going for the three-peat. This is a dynasty as Mahomes inches a little bit closer to getting into that GOAT conversation. He would tie Montana with 4 Super Bowl rings if he wins this one. He gets also, you know, a little bit closer to Tom Brady, who won 7 before the age of 30. For Andy Reid, he gets a little bit closer in that GOAT conversation. Belichick won 6. It's unbelievable to think that Reid will have won 4 if they've done this. First team to three-peat, that is kind of the one mark the New England Patriots never got to. The Chiefs could say them and only them have done it. So I think there's plenty of arguments here that we'll kind of dive into why they have more pressure in the game. But at the end of the day, I believe it's the Eagles. I believe our Philadelphia Eagles have more pressure to win this game for a couple of reasons. And I'm going to start with the quarterback and the coach. The quarterback and the coach, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, who have been together now, I mean, really for 4 years. Sirianni got here in 21. Hurts, Yes, he took over the starting job for Wentz at the end of the 2020 season. That's another funny storyline in this game, that we are literally one snap away at any given moment from Carson Wentz coming into the game for Kansas City, and that Carson Wentz is going to have to stand on the sideline and watch yet another backup of his try and shine in a Super Bowl. That is funny as well. But Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, year four here paired together, already their second Super Bowl appearance. The first coach in Eagles history, Nick Sirianni, is to go to a second Super Bowl. Pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable stuff that this team has done. But if Sirianni and Hurts lose this game, if this Eagles team loses this game, then they risk being kind of how we viewed McNabb and Donovan and Andy in the early 2000s. We widely regard Andy as probably the best coach in Eagles history, Donovan, best quarterback in Eagles history. But what's the one stain on their resume? They never won. They went to NFC Championship after NFC Championship after NFC Championship and never won. They finally got to the Super Bowl and never won. And then they went to another NFC Championship 5 years later. They never got over that hump. They did everything but win the big one. Like, literally did everything but win the big one. And here's what's at stake when the Eagles take the field 8 days from now in New Orleans. If Hurts and Sirianni win, you forever get remembered as a winner. Look how Nick Foles. Nick Foles comes back to be the honorary captain last week. What's his Eagles resume? Like, he had his first stint in 12 and 13. He played in the snow game. He had that unbelievable game in Oakland where he threw seven touchdowns and, 27 touchdowns, two interceptions. He had like an early Eagles career. But what he gets remembered for is the late Eagles career when he took over in December and then took this team to a championship. Right? He wasn't some, like, statistically, he's not some great quarterback in Eagles history, but he won. And Doug Peterson, for as long as he lives, things didn't go so great for him in Jacksonville. I mean, maybe he'll get another job eventually here at some point. Maybe he won't. But even if he never coaches another day in the NFL, he'll always be remembered here as the guy who won the first, as the guy who got over that hump that Andy Reid and McNabb never got over. And absolutely, those guys get remembered as winners. If Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni win, they know for no matter how their careers go from this point forward, no matter what you think of Jalen, no matter what you think of Nick, even if they don't win another game in an Eagles uniform, they know that they'll never have to buy, all the cliches. They'll never have to buy a drink in this town again. They'll always be, you will always have the image of the parade. They'll get a statue built for themselves outside of the Link or get photos of them planted at the NovaCare complex. They'll always be remembered. If they lose this game, they severely risk being one of those teams who just never got over the hump. And we cannot take for granted how difficult it is to go back to the Super Bowl, and especially when you lose. We need to take into account here how many quarterbacks in history have gone to the Super Bowl, lost, and never returned. Most notably, the Hall of Famer Dan Marino. The fact that Hurts is back in this game 2 years later, after the way they flamed out in 23, cannot be taken for granted. And he messed it up, but they lost the first time. Like, right? Sirianni and Hurts lost the first time. In life, sometimes you don't always get a second chance, and way fewer times do you get a third chance. The Eagles have been granted a second chance in this game, and they cannot screw it up. They have to win this game. They need this game more than the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why they have more pressure on them. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. At the end of the day, no one's going to truly hold it against the Chiefs if they lose this game, right? They're already the first team ever to show up for the three-peat. Like, the Patriots never even had a chance to go for the three-peat. No team who has ever won two Super Bowls in a row has returned for that third time in a row. Like, it's literally never happened. And at the end of the day, like I said, they're chasing all-time great legacies. Andy Reid starts getting in the GOAT coach conversation. If Mahomes wins, he starts entering into that GOAT quarterback conversation. If they lose, they still have a really bright future ahead of them. And quite frankly, I mean, we've seen them lose a Super Bowl to Tampa. We've seen them now win a couple in a row. They're not going anywhere. Like, regardless of it, no matter what, they always find a way to edge out the Bills in the playoffs or the Ravens in the playoffs. They lost to the Bengals a couple years ago, but they seem to own the AFC. And I don't think there's anyone out there right now who thinks if the Chiefs lose this game, they won't be right back probably in this position a year from now. I'm not saying they're playing with house money, but what I am saying is that there's a little bit less at stake for them. There's a little bit less to lose if they lose this game. They will get more chances. I'm more confident saying the Chiefs will get more chances moving forward than the Eagles will if they lose this game. right? They have shown an ability to sustain year after year after year after playing first-place schedule after first-place schedule after first-place schedule. It does not matter. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Andy Reid. That team's playing on Super Bowl Sunday feels like every year. Literally, in the past few years, has been every year. Right, if the Eagles lose this game, we don't know where they are a year from now. Maybe they have a similar season to last year. I would like to think they don't flame out in the end the same way, but maybe they don't get back to the Super Bowl. They got a Commanders team who's obviously knocking on the door here within their division. There's no guarantees where this thing goes a year from now. The Eagles' window, whether we want to admit it or not, probably a little bit smaller. And you're never going to, it's almost impossible to fathom that you'll ever get a season this good again from Saquon Barkley. No running back in the history of the league has ever run for 2,000 yards twice, right? The Eagles have been pretty fortunate with injury history, pretty fortunate replacing guys on the offensive line, pretty fortunate in a lot of respects. They need to win this game. They need to seize this opportunity and recognize the second chance that they've been given here. Recognize that you don't always get second chances in life. Dynasties, sure. If you're the Patriots, you're the Chiefs. You get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chances. And you'll always be there. Teams like the Eagles, most of the league, you don't get second chances like this. That is why the Eagles have more pressure in this game. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. And the last thing I want to get to here, and this is a storyline that I think matters to some people more than others. People like myself who grew up on the 2000s Eagles, I still have a hard time grappling with the fact that Andy Reid, at the end of the day, is going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Chiefs coach before he goes in as an Eagles coach. I mean, again, he's the winningest coach in Eagles history, and it's his second-best team. And I fully think the Eagles were in their right to let him go after the 2012 season. I think that that divorce was necessary. I think it was time. He'd been here for 14 years. He had been given many, many chances. It was best for both parties to go their separate ways. And now that he's in Kansas City, we used to have this belief here in Philadelphia that, you know, the Eagles got their Super Bowl first, and then I actively rooted for the Chiefs to win when they played their first Super Bowl against the 49ers. It's kind of like when you go with a breakup with your ex. Like, you don't want that ex of yours to get married first, but once you get married, as long as things ended on relatively okay terms and you had a good relationship, you can understand that. You still root for that other person to get married once you've done it. All right, that's fine. That was fine. When Andy Reid won his Super Bowl against the 49ers, it was like the Eagles had a bad season. The Eagles had already had theirs. Andy Reid got his. Everyone can live happily ever after. Except now Andy Reid's won 2 and 3 times since then, one of them at our expense. And now if he wins a fourth, this is going to be the equivalent of a really lopsided breakup. This is going to be the equivalent of him, you know, you get married, but it's maybe a rebound. And the person who you used to date, well, they're getting married to a supermodel. And they're getting married to one supermodel, two supermodels, three supermodels. Like, they're like a bachelor pad. And they got supermodels running all over the place, and they're living the life. If Andy Reid gets to 4 Super Bowls here, and 2 of them come at the Eagles' expense, it'll be one of the most lopsided breakups in NFL history in terms of firing a coach. I can't live with that. I don't want to see Andy Reid win another one. I used to root for that guy because things were a little bit more even in the breakup, but I'm going to be a little petty here. I don't want to see him go win a fourth at our expense. I don't want to see him clearly be the winner in the post-breakup relationship. The Eagles need this game. Jalen Hurts needs this game. Nick Sirianni needs this game. The Chiefs, they will have more chances. I'm not feeling too bad for them if they don't three-peat, right? The NFL is the only, it stands for, I say this every week, cliches, it stands for not for long. There's a reason that no one has ever three-peated up to this point. There's a reason that up to this point, no one's ever had a chance to three-peat. I believe the Chiefs will have chances to win their Super Bowls in the future. Let us have this one. The Eagles have more pressure to win this game. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Now, just a minute. Also going to play some audio from Tom Brady, who will be calling this game on Fox, on what he believes makes the Eagles so unstoppable. And I want to get into something that I think the Chiefs will be seeing this time around in the Super Bowl. And this time around, that will be different from every game they've played so far this season. But I do want to kick it off on the phone lines with Steve in Egg Harbor Township. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? I think because of the history involved, I think the pressure is more on Kansas City. And let's face the facts. I mean, again, last week, I don't know, you watched the game. I did. They do. I mean, I'm tired of them getting all the calls. I thought both of those plays were first downs, but definitely one of them was. And the guy from the opposite side of the field coming over and moving the ball back to where he moved it was ridiculous. And I agree that, you know, I mean, maybe they're not good at the tush-push, but, I mean, they get the ball back after that and they get on score a touchdown, which they shouldn't have got again. This happens way, way, way too much for this team. And I'm an Andy Reid fan. I still think he's the greatest coach in our history, and I never had a problem with him like a lot of people. I understand he had his flaws with time management, blah, blah, blah. But as far as this game, because of the history involved, the pressure's more on Kansas City, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's just walk through this for a second. So I agree with you. I was never super anti-Andy. I thought it was time for the sides to split apart. But listen, if the Chiefs lose this game, as I kind of laid out, like, they'll be. Do you agree, Steve? They'll be probably right back in this position a year, two, three from now. Like, they're not going anywhere with Mahomes and Reed.
Go ahead. I agree. Of course, you know why I agree with that? Because, like I said, if you look at all their games, I can count four games this year that when the game mattered, they got major calls that changed the tide of the game.
So you, Kansas City, you alluded to the officiating
they're
too.
There as long as they keep getting the calls, sure, and they're talented.
I know the officiating really rubs people the wrong way, and I'm not telling you that they don't benefit from calls, but unfortunately we see this in sports, right? Like, Derek Jeter got a beneficial strike zone from every umpire behind the plate. Michael Jordan always got a beneficial whistle. Brady used to get this all the time. You can't touch the league stars. It's frustrating. I get it. Mahomes flops around. I'm annoyed by it too. We could sit here and complain about it, or hopefully the Eagles are making that a focus this week, like, hey, don't touch them. Play really disciplined football. Let's not leave the game in the ref's hands here.
Yeah, well, again, like 2022, I believe we're the better team. I really think that game was taken away from us. Not on just that last call, but the calls in the first half when Devontae caught the ball on the sideline. They weren't stopping us. We were scoring touchdowns left and right, and they weren't going to stop us then. But we had to settle for a field goal because the half ran out when Devontae made that great sideline catch, which is as clear as day. A catch, and they didn't give it to him. So, I mean, like I said, I really felt we should have won that game. The referees, I believe, should have let them kick the field goal there. I mean, you know, it was a little bit of a hold. It wasn't anything major. It doesn't happen in a game of football. And we should have had at least the opportunity to come down and tie and not win the game. I'm not saying we would have won it, but we should have been given the opportunity. That play officially ended that game. And let me tell you something. I don't expect it to happen this time. I think we're going to go in there with a mission, and I really think that we're going to win this game going away in the fourth quarter.
Steve, I certainly hope you're right and appreciate the call. Listen, a lot of people, and I already see a few more people on the call screener, a lot of people frustrated with the officiating. I get it. There's really, if you're the Eagles, nothing you can do about it. I know the last time the Eagles and Chiefs played, there was a controversial holding call. Bradbury said after the fact that he believed he did hold them. It wasn't, like, egregious, but I did think there was enough there for a hold. Like, if we saw that call in Week 7 and it happened earlier in the game, we wouldn't be losing as much sleep over it. It's frustrating when a penalty impacts a game like that so much at the end. You'd like to see players decide games, not refs. But if it was the other way around, we'd all be complaining for a holding call. So, listen, there were other reasons the Eagles lost that game. The fact that Hurts played really, really well, but he did fumble a touchdown away for the Chiefs. Also, Eagles special teams, they allowed a return down to the 5-yard line. Like, they basically spotted Patrick Mahomes 14 points, and they lost the game by 3. You can't afford to do that. This time around, you need disciplined football, turnover-free football, which the Eagles have done a pretty good job of all year. You know, mistake-free football in general, no discipline, don't hit Mahomes late, that kind of stuff. If you don't beat yourself, I believe the Eagles have the more talented roster in this game. I think most people agree with that. And I think that's what's so different here about the Eagles playing the Chiefs versus what the Chiefs have seen all year long. The Chiefs have made a habit consistently all year of, no matter who they're playing, playing to their competition and finding a way to win the game by like 3 points, right? And teams, when they play the Chiefs, and you used to see this with New England too, sometimes they play scared. I don't know if they're intimidated to the quarterback or the coach, or they get a little just conservative because they're too afraid to make mistakes. That's what you can't do. The Eagles won Super Bowl 52 against the Patriots because they went in with a mindset when in their game plan well beforehand, before they even left for Minnesota, and said, we're going to play this game aggressive. If it's 4th and 2 on the goal line, we're going to go to the back of the playbook and run a trick play. If it's 4th and 2, 4th and 3, we're going to go for it. Like, we're not taking field goals. We're there to get touchdowns. We're there to go blow for blow, pound for pound with the GOAT, with the greatest dynasty in NFL history, and that's how we're going to win this game. Not backing down, but punching the bully straight in the face. And you know what? If we lose, then at least we went down punching, and we didn't go down scared and timid like everyone else does. And that's the mindset that the Eagles need to come in here. Play disciplined, right? You're going to have to take some risks, and maybe that will result in a turnover, but at least you go down punching, and if you play discipline and you don't commit stupid penalties, I'm talking about the avoidable stuff, I believe the Eagles can win this game because they have more talent top to bottom on this roster. And take a listen to Tom Brady. He was on with Colin Cowherd a little bit earlier in the week, a couple days ago, talking about what makes the Eagles so good and this roster and whether or not it's a handful for Kansas City.
You've watched so much of these teams. This will be your fifth Eagles game. And their offensive line, to me, and I think Jalen's great, but the offensive line's insane. You had good offensive lines. I don't know if you had four Hall of Fame offensive linemen. Have they gotten better? Do you feel like every time you watch the Eagles, it was a different version, or do you kind of know what you're going to get when you call their games?
I think they've been, Sirianni is done a great job with the adversity this year and dealing with the adversity. And, you know, I see him hot-tempered at times. I really like that attitude that he's got. There's a lot of consistency. You see that week to week. And I think there has been a lot of consistency over the course of the season from this team. When I think they're really unstoppable is when Jalen Hurts is playing in rhythm in the pass game. Because I look at that defense, the secondary has been consistent. They've been great all year. Fangio scheme. Zach Bond's been as consistent as anybody. That D-line, Jalen Carter, Sweat, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, those guys are consistent. So the entire defense is consistent. The running game's been there all year. That's consistent. A.J. Brown getting open man coverage and Devontae Smith, that's consistent. Goddard getting open, that's consistent. The line blocking well, that's consistent. When they can string a consistent rhythmic passing game together, I think they're pretty unstoppable.
All right, so that's the GOAT saying what I think a lot of us already know, which is that no matter where you fall in the Jalen Hurts debate, he's obviously shown great variance in how well he's played this season in the passing game. If he plays like he did last week in the NFC Championship, if he plays like he did in that Pittsburgh game, and the Eagles' offense is firing on all cylinders, the run game is too hard to stop. This offensive line is being dominant. This defense, the best the Chiefs are going to see all year. And I'm not saying you stop Patrick Mahomes, but maybe you slow him down a little bit, turn a few of those touchdown drives he would have against other teams into field goals. And if the passing game is connecting, which is why all of us who have been critical of Jalen Hurts all year long have been concerned, because of a game like this, when you get in a duel with Patrick Mahomes, not is Jalen Hurts better than Mahomes. I think Mahomes is in a tier of his own. I think we all know that. But can he go blow for blow? Can he, if they're down late in the game, can Hurts move this team down the field with some rhythm, with some pace? Because if he plays like he did last week, and this Eagles roster, again, is the most dominant roster, I think, in the league, the most talented roster in the league, and the toughest roster this Chiefs team is going to see, I think they got a very good shot to win this game, and I think the pressure is on the Eagles, not the Chiefs, to win this game because they have they're less assured to get back. And Sirianni and Hurts, they have not done it before. The Chiefs have. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Let's sneak in one more call before the break here. Pat is in Bluebell. What's up, Pat?
Oh, hey. Not a lot, but I am concerned regarding the officiating. I don't have a lot of opportunity to watch football. I work on weekends. But this year, I did get to watch some games, and certainly the Eagles games. Where the officials spot the balls after each play has been egregious. I mean, it's a solid half yard, even a yard back. And it's like, do you guys understand, like, physics, and that when somebody's knees go down, you know, their torso is leaning forward and their ball is in the torso. And I'm like, what are they looking at? So I really think that the coaching staff have to have a spotter and argue with these refs where they're putting the ball. I mean, I may be nitpicking, but whatever. I did see a montage of the Bills game on YouTube. And, yeah, it was absolutely egregious to the point where, yeah, it lends credence to some of the conspiracy theories about the NFL and the integrity of officiating.
So, Pat, just really quick, I do believe that when you're a star, you get the benefit of the whistle. I don't believe there's some conspiracy where the refs are intentionally rigging or scripting these games. I will say that. Your point about where the ball has been spotted, there's always my follow-up question whenever there's poor officiating in a game. A, does it go both ways, or is it just in favor of one team? Like, when you're saying that, do you feel like you're only seeing it in Chiefs games, or is that, like, consistent league-wide? Because in theory, if they're enforcing it the same way on both sides, then it's affecting both teams evenly.
Well, yeah, I'm wearing the glasses of my favorite team.
Understood.
It's only the Eagles, but
hey, Pat, who do you think has more pressure to win this game?
It seems that it does favor the Chiefs. When I'm watching a game that involves the Chiefs, I do want to touch on something else, and that's Andy Reid and his tenure here in Philadelphia. I think it's grossly overrated. His record against teams over 500, as well as teams that were in the playoffs that particular year, is horrible. And his ability to adjust at halftime and time management while he was here is amateur.
Oh, yeah, he was not a good in-game adjustment coach. He was much better. He was great in preparation leading up to a game, not so great adjusting in-game.
I agree. But, you know, against the NFC East in the early 2000s, it was almost an automatic six games that he had in hand because they were horrible. So his record, you can argue it because I am arguing it, but his record against teams over 500 is just abysmal. So that's that. But I agree with you. He needed to, they just needed to part ways in 2012 or whenever they did.
So. I got you, Pat, and appreciate the call. Listen, that does worry me. Andy Reid's record coming off the bye when he was with the Eagles, like, unbelievable. Now, obviously, he lost his first Super Bowl with the Eagles, and then he lost the Super Bowl with Kansas City as well. But you give Andy Reid an extra week to prepare, historically pretty good. And I don't feel great about the fact that Andy Reid has 2 weeks to prepare for this Eagles team. There is no more prepared coach in the league than Andy Reid. And something else that I should note, with the Eagles, he was very bad at adjusting in-game, always way better coming off a bye when he had extra time to prepare for a team, and not so great in-game. But with the Chiefs, he's trailed in every Super Bowl he's been in, and including all the Super Bowls they've won. So he has gotten better at that as well. Now, having Patrick Mahomes certainly helps with that. I mean, you have, again, the best weapon in the game to try and come back, but this is that MO that he has, more so an Eagles thing than a Chiefs thing. If you want to say Andy Reid's overrated, great. That should feed into what I'm saying, too. You don't want to see this breakup get more lopsided. If the Eagles win this game and Andy goes home losing this game, he's still got 3 Super Bowl rings in the bank. He's still going to be back in this position next year. He still might get to 4, 5, or 6. If the Chiefs win this game and the Eagles go home losers yet again, and Hurts loses a second Super Bowl and Sirianni loses his second Super Bowl, then you start to question whether it's ever going to happen for them. And that's why I believe ultimately the Eagles have more pressure on them, not the Chiefs. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right, on the other side, one Hall of Fame quarterback spoke out this week and said that Jalen Hurts called him for advice prior to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but he hasn't heard from him since. Who was it, and why does he suspect he hasn't gotten a call back? We'll get to that and your phone calls next. Just getting started here on a Saturday morning. Again, Dan Wilson with you, Kyle Forsini producing, taking you up till 10 a.m. this morning right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Asking our question this morning, which is, who has more pressure to win Super Bowl 59, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I believe it's the Eagles. I believe that there's more at stake for them if they lose. I mean, if they lose the game again, Sirianni hurts. They never become a winner. There's only a handful of carryovers on this Eagles team from who won Super Bowl 57. You're talking about Brandon Graham, who is trying to fight his way back into this game. We'll get into him a little bit later in the show, who obviously won, and Lane Johnson won, and the kicker Jake Elliott won, and you know, there's a few other guys on this team who have won as well. But for the most part, you're looking at a roster of guys who will have not won, especially not in Philadelphia. The Chiefs, they have guys who have won, and anyone who sticks around next year, maybe they'll, you know, they'll probably be the favorites to win next year, right? And I understand the argument that when you're the favorite, there's always more pressure on you to get the job done. I just don't think that's the case here. I think the Chiefs have shown more ability to sustain success. They've shown more ability to do it year after year after year, that they can still hold their, not their head high, but they can still know in the back of their mind, we're going to have more shots at this. The Eagles, they do not know they have more shots at this if they don't win this Super Bowl. This is a pivotal, and I mean pivotal game in the career and legacy of Jalen Hurts, of Nick Sirianni, and for many guys on this, for Saquon Barkley, for a lot of guys on this Eagles team. 215-592-9494. In just a minute, we will hear from an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback who said that Jalen Hurts called him a couple years ago, didn't call him this time around. And we'll also get to the phones in just a minute. But Kyle Forsini producing the show today. Good morning, Kyle. And where do you stand on this? Who do you believe, again, 8 days out, who's got more pressure going into this one?
I think it's the Chiefs just because of the fact that merely they're going for the three-peat. And I really think that's the main catalyst for it. I mean, something that's never been done in the history of the NFL. The Eagles and Jalen Hurts have done something that has, they've already kind of done something that hasn't been done, right? Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback since Jim Kelly to get back to the Super Bowl after losing his first. It's been almost 30 years since that happened. They've kind of already crossed that threshold. They've gotten to the game. I don't want to say you're playing with house money because they're not. The Eagles are obviously one of the best teams in the NFL. They're not some Cinderella story. But because the Chiefs are going for the three-peat, they're trying to cement their legacy, even if they haven't already. Like, that puts all the pressure on them. That's what the story is and has been for the entire season, is can this team three-peat? They are now one game away from doing it. That's why I think they've got the most pressure.
Listen, it must be night. We're talking about... I understand your point about they're going for the three people. We're talking about like the haves and the have-nots. If we're doing this in like a scale of where people make money, it's like the Chiefs are the billionaires of the league, and the Eagles are trying to even be millionaires. They're trying to win once, not in their franchise's history, but for the most guys on this team, for Hurts, for Sirianni, they're trying to win once, and the Chiefs have, you know, rich people problems, and they're trying to win for a fourth time, the third time in 3 years, be the first team to ever do it. Listen, if they don't do it, I understand it's frustrating for them. They'll probably never get that three-peat mark that, again, no team in the league history has ever done. But they'll still be back. Mahomes will still go down as one of the greatest to ever do it. Reed will still go down as one of the greatest to ever do it. If the Eagles, Sirianni and Hurts don't win this game, and they literally may never do it. We're talking about a team doing something once, just getting over the top one singular time versus three or four times. I refuse to believe that a team going for the three-peat is under more pressure than a team who, again, this isn't a team who's new on the scene. If this was the Commanders who won last week and they were playing against the Chiefs, absolutely, I'd say the Chiefs have more pressure to win this game. They'd be clear favorites. They're going for the three-peat. Everyone would say, yeah, the Commanders are going to be back. The Eagles in this case, this is them going back. Very rarely does a team who loses the Super Bowl twice in a rematch, do you see that team go back for a third time. You very rarely, or too rarely in life, get second chances. I just don't buy that this team would get a third chance if they lose. So that's why I believe they have more pressure on they have more pressure than the Chiefs, even though they're going for the three-peat. 215-592-9494. Let's take one phone call, and then we're going to hear from that NFL Hall of Famer. Let's hear from Scott in Abington. What's up, Scott?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, before I get to the point I called about, I'm going into this week looking like I did last week, where I would tell people I'm pensive because you got a quarterback that can burn you. But if the Eagles take care of business, you know, things won't be bad. And I kind of feel the same way with this. If the Eagles can take care of business, I think they're going to win this game on merit. I'm not worried about the refs, because the NFL is going to have a major issue if this Super Bowl is, you know, if the result comes from a couple of bad calls, because, you know, they're taking heat already. And unlike 2 years ago when it was just Philly, they're taking it from the whole country right now. So that's just a quick thought. But anyway, the reason why I want them to win so bad is because I want to just – destroy Andy Reid. When he was the Eagles coach, he was smug. He was standoffish. He was sarcastic. He was everything that we didn't really like at the time, but we dealt with it. And now all of a sudden he's doing all these commercials. He hangs out with State Farm Jake, and he's like the big red teddy bear. And clock management and all those other things he seemed to have hit the reset button on. But I'm just so frustrated with, you know, how everything has turned around. And we deserve that because we gave him 14 years to prove his worth. And he did the same thing over and over and over again to rip our hearts out. So I want to rip his heart out now. And to your point about them being back, I think the Eagles, you know, you got to remember they are really young. They're going to be back. I think the Eagles can go off on a run now, too.
But I don't think you can say that necessarily. Listen, we all said 2 years ago, oh, they're going to be back, and then last year happened, right? And I think they are fortunate, and based upon the offseason they had, they went out and signed Saquon Barkley, you signed Zach Bond, since then you've drafted Jalen Carter. Like, this team has been built so well by Howie Roseman, one of the greatest, you know, executives in the history of the sport. For them to get back to this point, I just completely disagree with the notion that you can bank on them getting back if they lose this game, because the odds are not in their favor too.
They're breaking trends, okay? So, you know,
they've already broken one strong trend, so you're going to bank on them doing it again?
Well, no, actually, they didn't break one. They broke two already this year. They actually almost single-handedly made the running back a valuable asset again. I mean, and not just a little. I mean,
yeah, he's going to finish top three in MVP voting.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that, you know, they're burning a couple of these curses already, these historical norms. So, you know, this is a dynamic team. I mean, talent from top to bottom. You know, I was listening to the show before. I like listening to those guys every week for the hour, and you know, they say the same thing that I think a lot of us feel, and is, you know, from top to bottom, best roster in the league. You look at the Chiefs, there might be three people, four total at the most, that you would rather have start than any of the players on the Eagles. And you can't, I mean, the fact that they're a 1.5-point dog is purely, I think, because of the refs and, you know, okay, the Chiefs have done it a couple years in a row. That's based on reputation, not on talent. So, yeah, I think the Eagles are going to be able to start a run here. They're very, very young. They're going to be able to do this for a while. I'm really not that worried. I'll go into, like I said, pensive, but I'm not worried.
Scott, I appreciate the call. I cannot buy into the Eagles will definitely be back type of mindset. Listen, like, this might be the best season Saquon Barkley ever has as an Eagle. It might be the best running back season we've ever seen. If he played in that final game, he would have beaten Eric Dickerson's record. I have no doubt about that. Now, I think it was the correct decision, but based upon, and he, I forget what the yard total, the yardage total here is, but it's within like 50. If he rushes for, it's like 35 yards in the Super Bowl, he breaks Terrell Davis's regular season plus playoffs record. So all things considered, we might be watching the best running back season ever. You can't, no matter what you think of Saquon Barkley, you can't bank on that a year, two, three from now. Like, this might have been the best season you ever get from him. And Lane Johnson's getting up there in age. Like, I know the Eagles have drafted really well, and we think that the structure of this team is really, really bright for years to come. They're probably going to lose Slay in the offseason, who's had a pretty good season. Zach Bond's going to get paid this offseason. Will he be back? Like, there's always questions around the league. Whenever you go at Kellen Moore in the running for the Saints job, maybe we're looking at another offensive coordinator. There's always things that change year to year in the NFL. And when you have these opportunities in front of you, you have to seize them. You absolutely have to seize them. And I just do not buy into the fact, I do not subscribe to the theory that, oh, if the Eagles lose this game, they're definitely going to be back. We all said that 2 years ago, and then I think last year that was proven incorrect. And now this feels like a new, same coach, same quarterback, but a new iteration of a lot of the team. You have a new center, no more Jason Kelce. You have a lot of new players on defense. You have a new team MVP in Saquon Barkley. I cannot bank on the fact, I cannot rest on the fact knowing, oh, the Eagles will be back if they lose this game. The Chiefs, they probably feel that way because they have a proof of concept there. The Eagles, this is a second opportunity. They have to seize the moment. I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. All right, way late for the break here, but I promise on the other side we will play that audio for you from an NFL Hall of Famer who got a call from Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, didn't hear from him this time around, and also got a little bit of a side topic question that I want to ask everyone for the remainder of the show as it relates to how you will be watching the Super Bowl. All that and more, as well as your phone calls next. It's Dan Wilson with you, Kyle Forcini producing, taking you till 10 a.m. this morning right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is Kyle Forcini head bopping in the producer booth to little Tom Petty running down a dream as the Eagles are running down a dream here to win the Super Bowl rematch against the Chiefs. Kyle, you know what I think of every time I hear that song?
Can I say it? Because I think we think of the same thing.
Go ahead.
Chase Utley playing the 08 World Series. Yep, Fox, when they cut the break.
Fox playing that music right as Utley throws out Bartlett at home plate.
Yep, I think of the same thing.
And they cut the break and immediately they cue the Tom Petty music. And every single time I hear the song since, that's what I think of. That's like a Phillies deep cut to know what song Fox played after the infamous Utley fake throw play.
That was like a big time for Tom Petty too, because I think he was the halftime show of the Super Bowl that year too.
I don't know the exact year, but it was right around that vicinity.
I don't know if he had some like super relevance in the mid-2000s, but for some reason in 08, he was the biggest thing.
You know what's so funny about the Super Bowl halftime shows, if you look at them in order, is like now they've gone in a direction of appealing to like a younger audience.
For sure.
It's Kendrick Lamar. Last year was Usher. A couple of years ago was Rihanna when the Eagles played the Chiefs. There was a stretch there. They went like Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, The Who, and that was basically the NFL's response to the nip slip. Paul McCartney did the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl in the 2004-05 season, and it felt like the NFL, after the Janet Jackson nip slip, was like, all right, what are the cleanest acts we can find? Let's find like the bands that will appeal to like our middle-aged man demographic and just put those for a couple of years, just because there is like... The following year, they're like, who is the least likely act to have a wardrobe malfunction? Paul McCartney. All right, who else? Tom Petty. All right, who else? Bruce Springsteen. And then finally, they're like, all right, I guess we're cool with like Katy Perry eventually. But then it took them a while to go back to it. So that is pretty funny. But yeah, Tom Petty did it. There is no better example of that than Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Could not be a less likely act to have a wardrobe malfunction than those guys. 215-592-9494 here on a Saturday morning. Dan Wilson with you if you're just waking up. Happy Saturday, everyone, as we are 8 days away from Super Bowl Sunday. Opening question this morning is, who has more pressure on them, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I believe it's the Eagles, just because, again, it's not that they can't get back to the Super Bowl if they lose this game, but you can't take situations like this for granted. Teams like the Patriots, like the Chiefs, they are the exception to the rule, consistently getting back year after year after year. And, I mean, take a look at the Eagles. They have a second crack at the Chiefs. Now, the 49ers, they've already had two cracks at the Chiefs. They've lost both times, and things did not go well for them in San Francisco this time around. There's no guarantee that they're going to get a third crack at it, a third crack to win a Super Bowl in this Shanahan, like Purdy era. I mean, I know Garoppolo was the first one, but you can't let these opportunities go by the wayside. The Chiefs already fought off one rematch. Don't be the victim of yet another one. I want to know if people agree at 215-592-9494. Now, I've been mentioning and teasing for a little bit the Hall of Fame quarterback who Jalen Hurts called 2 years ago. It's Peyton Manning. And here was Peyton Manning on the Pat McAfee show, I believe this was yesterday, talking about how Jalen Hurts, then 24-year-old quarterback before Super Bowl 57, reached out to him and how he didn't do it this time around.
Yeah, Peyton, his counterpart, Jalen Hurts, we've seen all the stats about guys going to the Super Bowl and then never making it back. You know, he's obviously done that a couple years after. But for you particularly, how much did you learn after your first Super Bowl, whether it was, you know, handling the week and all that kind of stuff, or like the game itself? Like, how much more comfortable do you think Jalen Hurts will be in this Super Bowl as opposed to the last one that when they play the Chiefs?
Yeah, like, I think he'll be way more comfortable. Look, Mahomes, you know, gets his mail sent to the Super Bowl every year because he knows he's going to be there. Hurts, I remember talking to him a couple years ago about kind of, hey, what's any advice? What's the routine? And, like, he didn't call me for that this year because he knows it. And I think, yeah, the more comfortable you are during the week, the better you're going to play. And, you know, Sirianni, I talked to Nick about it, and you know, he said, do you have any thoughts? I'm like, Nick, you know what to do. You know, I think they'll kind of put the game plan in this week, is that they were going to play kind of Sunday, and then, you know, next week you go down and review. But look, Jalen is probably one pass interference from a couple years ago from being a Super Bowl champion quarterback. He is a championship quarterback from college. So he thrives in these type of moments, and I see him playing well. I think a lot of attention is going to be on Saquon, as it should, including from the Chiefs and Spags. So I think Jalen and Brown and Smith are going to have to do some things in the passing game, and he certainly can do that.
A couple reactions to that piece of audio there from Peyton Manning. Number one, I do love how much of a student of the game Jalen Hurts is. It feels like he really likes picking the brain of a variety of guys around the league. You remember that story that came out in the offseason of him calling Wink Martindale, who was the defensive coordinator of the Giants, asking how would you defend us before the playoff game against the Bucks last year. Like, he does quietly, he doesn't look for attention on it until the other person comes out and says it. He does ask around, and a couple of years ago he asked Peyton Manning how to handle the Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts played really, really well in that Super Bowl. Again, the only mistake he made, it was a costly one, was the fumble that the Chiefs scored a touchdown on. But overall, the positives far outweigh the negatives in that game. Jalen Hurts played really, really well in that game. But here he is, 2 years older, 2 years wiser, 2 years more mature. This is not his first Super Bowl anymore. And again, there are so many examples of guys who got there once, never got a chance again. McNabb and Reed. McNabb went to one Super Bowl, never got back. Think about all those times they went to NFC championships in the early 2000s. Everyone just assumed eventually they'll get it one of these years. Eventually they'll get over the hump one of these years. They never did. You literally, and the other joke that Peyton Manning slipped in there is that Mahomes gets his mail sent to the Super Bowl because he knows he's going to be there. That's how we used to feel about Brady. Like, Brady was the exception to the rule. And we're looking at Patrick Mahomes, the exception to the rule. Peyton Manning didn't, like, he won the one Super Bowl that he had significantly more to do with than his second. But there were how many years did Peyton Manning fall short on the doorstep of making the Super Bowl because he ran into the Patriots? Or, you know, I think the Steelers in there a couple times as well. Like, there were so many times in playoff games that Peyton Manning left a little bit more to be desired and was the team who left praying that they would win rather than actually getting the job done. The Eagles got to win this. Like, this is a game the Eagles absolutely have to win. This idea that we can just bank on the fact that one of these years Hurts and Sirianni will win the big one if they don't do it this year, I think is nonsense. And I want to know if people agree with me that the Eagles have more pressure to win this game than the Chiefs do. 215-592-9494. Let's get Tom in Morristown quickly and before the break. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to say, great show. I'm so happy for everybody around here. You know, the energy when your team is going to the Super Bowl for everybody in this area. And listen, I'm 60. I've been through Rich Kotite. I've been through those years. I'm very, very grateful for this team and the way they are. But having said that, I mean, one thing I wanted to bring up was and I'm going to talk about the pressure. I completely believe the pressure is on the Eagles, not the Chiefs. If the Chiefs folded up their tent today and said, hey, we're not going to make any more playoffs or anything else, they hadn't made it in 22 years. Clark Hunt and that family, they can't believe the success that they're having and the way they caught lightning in a bottle.
Well, they're a modern-day dynasty. They are literally exactly. The modern-day dynasty the same way. And they might be set up. You know, you think about, like, the Cowboys of the 90s. Like, every, like, decade in NFL history has, like, that one team. It was, like, the Steelers in the 70s. And then you got, like, right. The, you know, the Cowboys in the 90s. And then the Patriots became the team of the 2000s and the 2010s. The Chiefs have become the team of the 2020s. And if Mahomes continues to play like this, maybe they'll carry into the 2030s as well. Like, they are unbelievable. And I have no doubt in my mind they'll get more cracks at this. Like, if you ask me right now who has a better chance to come back next year and be right in the same spot, it's the Chiefs. And that's no knock on the Eagles.
Exactly.
It's just how good they are. And you only see one team like that per generation, and they're that.
Exactly. And I think the one thing that Mahomes had that Donovan never had, and Donovan had talent, but a big thing is Patrick Mahomes can play so relaxed. He plays like he's playing a throwdown game of street ball in the biggest games. Donovan, it did get to his nerves. And just one more point, and I want to bring this up and see what the other callers think. How would the Chiefs be if they had to switch defensive coordinators every year the last 4 years? I mean, come on, they're there is a reality to switching coaches.
Of course there is.
I know that comes with team success, but Spags is a major, major part of keeping them. And I agree with Scott from Abington. I think Reed is a great coach. But come on, it is all three things, Spags and Mahomes. And it's just, look, you catch lightning in a bottle and it happened to them. They are very, very, very fortunate. But listen, my last comment, we are going for blood. We're not going just to, I believe that everybody on this Eagles team, no, we're not glad just to go there because you never know if you're going to get back. Come on, there's 32 teams in this league. You could have guys hurt. We're going for blood, and we're going to win 37-24. Go Birds!
I certainly hope you're correct, Tom. Appreciate the call. It is the NFL is a league built for parity with how the draft rules work and how the salary cap works and how they stack the schedule tougher against more difficult teams. It's what makes the Patriots and a team like the Chiefs so damn impressive. It's hard to get back. Again, the 49ers were in this position a year ago. You want to be the 49ers right now? Like, you know how many other teams have gone to the Super Bowl once and not got back? And the Eagles here have a second opportunity, a chance that not even the great Dan Marino had. I know Dan Marino had far less talent than this Eagles team, but like, there are so many examples, right, of teams who never, the Bills lost four Super Bowls in a row. They kept getting chance after chance after chance. They never did it. I don't want the Eagles to be that. I don't want to be the Eagles to be the team who keep running into the Chiefs and losing or keep, like, losing the playoffs, losing Super Bowls. They need to punctuate it now. They need to solidify now in their second chance where Hurts is more experienced, Sirianni's more experienced. They know how to go through the nuances of a Super Bowl week. They need to win this title now, and they need to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Glad that Tom mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, because in our next segment, we will hear from Tom Brady yet again on what it is like to face the tough Steve Spagnuolo defense. And also, we're going to get into that side topic that I alluded to just a little bit ago. I want to know how people are going to be watching this game, because I think it's very critical that you're in the right type of environment for a game of this magnitude. So I want to get into that on the other side as well. Again, Dan Wilson with you, Kyle Forsini producing, taking you for one more hour until 10 a.m. this morning right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. All right, Kyle, what do I think of when I hear this song? It's a movie reference.
Grown-ups.
Yes, absolutely.
Two for two.
Yes. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Our question here this morning is, who has more pressure on them to win Super Bowl 59, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I believe it's the Eagles. I believe there's more at stake. They are less assured to get back to this moment than the Chiefs are. Listen, there's a lot of young, talented teams in the league right now. Go ask the Bills if they know they're going to be back each and every year. They get there, right? And then they get bounced by the Chiefs every time. Ask Lamar Jackson if, you know, you should be assured to get back. Or Joe Burrow, right? Like, there's so many teams who have really, really bright futures in the league and never, like, only one team can win the Super Bowl every year. It's hard to do. It is really, really hard to do. Russell Wilson won in his second year, and yes, he did get that one win, and then they came back and lost, and people thought that he and the Seahawks had a bright future. They never got back. Like, they're NFL, like, strings of success for NFL teams, for most NFL teams, again, unless you're New England or Kansas City, they fizzle out shorter than people want to admit, or shorter than people generally expect. You come back one season with higher expectations, and you underperform, and then you lose a free agent, the quarterback starts to decline, the coach gets fired, and before you know it, you're hitting the reset button. Right? The Eagles went to the Super Bowl in 17, and Wentz comes back, gets hurt again, and Foles takes them on another like crazy run at the end of the year to go to the playoffs, and the 19 got worse, and 20 got even worse than that, and Howie Roseman, one of the only GMs in NFL history to like have a chance to see the demise and build it back up and build another Super Bowl contender, and now he's in his third Super Bowl as a general manager, right? It's just how the league works. The reality is the majority of teams operate under this reality where you only get sometimes a first chance, maybe you get a second chance, very rarely a third chance, especially if you lose the first two. The Eagles have to win this. The Chiefs will get more chances. They've proven they can do it. I think the Eagles have more pressure on them to win this game because Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni really are really in doubt or really would really be threatening to be remembered the same way Donovan and Andy were remembered here, which is the team who kept praying they would win and never got over that hump. Do you agree? At 215-592-9494. Now, I wanted to ask a question here for people in the final hour of the show, which is I'm always interested what people's plans are for Super Bowl Sunday. You know, there's a lot of different moves you could go. A lot of people like to go do the bar thing, which looking around the city, seeing some of these cover charges at bars, little steep. I mean, frankly, I think it was Xfinity Live, like $150 to get in. I mean, you could get in cheaper to some games during the season. But that place will be packed, and of course they'll cut to it during the broadcast. So I guess it's a collective environment there. I'm sure Chickies will be packed, and you know, all these places will be packed. PJ Willihan's all across the region, right? Then there are people who, you know, in a usual year, if the Eagles weren't playing, a lot of people like to host Super Bowl parties. But people get a little weird with that when the Eagles are playing it. It's not just a social event where you bring over the chips and you bring over, you know, your favorite dip or the pizza. You got to lock in because it's the Eagles. So I want to know for the remainder of the show, I'm going to end every phone call by asking, are you going out for the Super Bowl or are you staying in? Like, do you want to control your environment? Do you only want to have a few people around? You're sitting on the couch? Or are you going out to watch the Super Bowl? Do you want the bar scene? If there's anyone listening who was actually going to New Orleans, going to the game, would love to hear from you. When are you going down? How'd you get tickets? The whole nine yards there. What's the move for this game? Are you having your usual Super Bowl party? Because people get weird with this, and everyone's got their certain way that they enjoy watching, and no two people are alike. Kyle, really quick before we go back to the phones, where are you going to be watching Super Bowl 59?
I'm a home watcher. I'm not going out anywhere. I have to watch it with people who are also fans, people who will also be locked in.
A controlled environment game, yeah.
Correct. I have to make sure that I'm doing my part so that they win. And my part is sitting in a room where it's very quiet. Everybody is cheering for the same thing. We are not talking about the commercials. You are locked in on the action of the game. So I'm watching at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'll be watching here. I've watched every Eagles game here in this studio for the last like 5 years, actually, because I work on our, you know, WIP broadcast team. I'm a studio assistant. It's myself. Mike Angelina is where you're sitting. Tom Kelly's here doing the halftime report and in-game updates. Got Justin D'Orazio cutting highlights. Our intern, Louis Coco. So we got a nice little group here that we all kind of watch games and we pop out in the hallway during commercials. And we watched every game together. And I think that's pretty cool to have, like, the same group of guys, even if they're coworkers, that you've watched literally every game with so far this season. So for one final time, we're going to watch the Super Bowl together. It's the second time I've watched the Super Bowl here already because I did it 2 years ago. So I want to know, where are you watching this game? You going out to the bar? Someone hosting a party? You having people over? Are you keeping this, you know, tight quarters because the Eagles are in the game? 215-592-9494. Let's say good morning to Heather. What's up, Heather?
Hi. Hey, first time caller here. I was trying not to fall asleep. I just got done night shift. And anyway, so I've been an Eagles fan for a long time during the Reggie White, Eric Allen defense. I mean, been watching them for a long time. I have to say, I feel like the pressure is more on the Eagles. I'm with you. I have no idea if they're going to get back there next year. We have so much talent on this team. I think team-wise, I mean, I know Mahomes is a great quarterback. Andy Reid is a great coach. And I feel like they do have a better chance of getting back there. But this year is it. We are going to take our win from our loss. What happened back in 2023, I was there when Jalen Hurts fumbled that ball in the first quarter and they ratted in for the touchdown. I was so pissed off. That fourth quarter call, that holding call, that was like a back and forth, you know, people tweeting about that. I will say I have my reservations about, you know, the officiating, I don't know if you saw the Kevin Hart thing where he's making fun of, like, you can't tackle Patrick Mahomes and they lay him down on the ground with a
pillow on the
blanket.
That was pretty funny. I saw that, yeah.
That was hilarious. I actually put that on my Facebook page. But I just think, I know Kansas City is trying to make a three-peat here, but we need this year. We need it. And I think fans of other football teams, they don't want Kansas City to be untouchable. They want to see them lose. They want to see that they can lose. They're rooting for Eagles. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. People are. I think people collectively, I think America is rooting for the Eagles in this game. People are generally sick of the Chiefs. Like, even people who aren't big Eagles fans are like, I'm sick of the Swift stuff, or I'm sick of Mahomes.
Yeah, Taylor Swift money shots.
I'm sick of these guys. Like, if this were money, like, if we're talking about two people in the workplace, it's like the Chiefs are the big boss who make multi-millions or even billions. They don't need more money. They don't need another championship to cement their legacy here. The Eagles, we need this. We need one.
We have so much talent. If we can play a clean game, no turnovers, watch the blitz, go with the passing game, whatever we got to do, just, you know what I mean, to do what we're doing. We played such an amazing game last weekend. I mean, I loved it, and I want to see it again, and we deserve to win. We've seen them improve, and with the defense that we have, oh, my God.
And we got to win for Saquon. Like, this unbelievable effort that we've seen out of Saquon this year. Like, you know, I'm not saying carrying the team because that implies that no one else is doing anything, but being the leader and then the driving force and the team MVP all season long with superhuman efforts each and every week. Like, you got to stamp that amazing season with a Super Bowl title. We just absolutely need one. So Heather, what are you doing for this game? You staying home? You going out? What's the move?
I'm keeping it where I'm at. I'm a single mom. I got four kids, and I bring my mom over, and she doesn't even watch football, so she yells at the most inappropriate times, which gets me upset, but she's locked in. We're just watching it at my house so I can hear every play, watch the game right there. I don't need a lot of noise and cheering, and I know my kids will come down and yell at me if I'm yelling at the television and want to kick me out of the house, but I'm sticking in my house, just me and my mom. I'm going to make dinner and buy a couple extra things, you know, and that's it. I just got to keep it plain and simple because it's about the game and I want to see every play.
Sounds good, Heather. Appreciate the call. Always funny when you have that one person in the room who doesn't really know what's going on, but they're really trying. So you don't want to be the jerk who's like, no, shut up. But there's always one that, you know, they're like, what just happened? Everyone's like, shh, not now. Something else is great's about to happen. And again, you don't want to be the person who's like gatekeeping fandom or, you know, doesn't want to try and include them. But also sometimes you're a little too locked in to try and explain something to someone else. And I'm sure it doesn't feel great to be that person. There are plenty of people out there wearing Eagles gear throughout the city who I'm sure are not dialed into this team each and every week, and that's okay. But if you're watching amongst diehards, it can be a little tough for that person. I actually feel for those people.
The explanation of the game can happen in Week 7. Super Bowl is far too gone at that point.
They got to sit in their own room. They got to sit in their own room, or they got to be watching film ahead of time so someone can catch them up to speed. Hey, when it's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, they're going to tush-push here, or here's why we got upset at this play. Yeah, you're right. Super Bowl Sunday, not the time to be jumping. Maybe next year you'll jump on a little bit earlier, and you'll learn the rules, like you said, in Week 7, not in the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Let's say good morning to Martin in Westchester. What's up, Martin?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Listen, real fast, man. I think you're right. The more pressure is on the Eagles, the way you're putting it. But it also is more pressure on Patrick Mahomes because at the parade last year, he said, I guarantee we're going to be home for the games and we're going to win 3 straight. I promise y'all. So that's a lot of pressure on him as well. And I think the Chiefs are being disrespected. And I'm going to tell you why. Last week against Buffalo, they was -1.5, and this week they was -1. I think they was underdogs last week, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, and Spags and Andy Reid, have Andy Reid ever lost two games in a row to a coach? I don't believe this, so, because Eagles beat them last year.
So they did. We talked so much about the Super Bowl rematch, kind of flown under the radar that the Eagles went into Arrowhead and won that game last season before the wheels fell apart.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. That game's not talked about. Andy Reid, remember that? So how many games you think this guy, I think he's the greatest coach I've ever been around and watching football for 30 years. Andy Reid is amazing. Like I said, I think the Eagles, it's going to be a good game, but it's going to be hard beating Patrick Mahomes and Spags and Andy Reid.
Just really quick, Martin. So to your earlier point, the Chiefs were favored by 2 last week at home against the Bills.
That's
favored
what
by...
I'm saying. That line was too low for the... Come on.
I don't know. They won by 3. It was pretty close.
But maybe I'm over-valuing the Chiefs, but they're about to win a 3rd straight Super Bowl.
Well, I hope not. You picking the Chiefs to win the game?
Yes, and I'm doing it at Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's is an interesting... So you and some friends, or just you?
Yes.
Okay.
My friends, they Eagles fans.
Are you not an Eagles fan?
No, I'm a Commanders fan.
I see what this is.
Oh, no.
I see what this is. All right, so you're going to
I'll
Dave and...
I'll bet y'all guys, though.
All right, well, that's good to hear. Listen, I got some respect for the Commanders. They had by far their best season in years, and I think they have a bright future in years to come here. But as far as this Eagles matchup, I think this line is about correct. Chiefs by 1.5. I would imagine they're going to see pretty close to even money on both sides of that. It's a pretty close game, and they're saying the Chiefs have about a 55% chance to win, which, given their legacy and reputation and experience and the fact they have Mahomes and Reed, probably about accurate.
Okay. Well, you know who I'm going for, so
All right.
Good luck with you guys.
Martin, all right. Well, really quick, so you're going to Dave and Buster's. You got, like, a watch party? You just getting the table early?
We paid for tickets. They was, I think, $75 a piece.
All right. All right.
Yeah,
and that was in Philly?
Jersey, Blackwood.
Okay. All right, Martin, I appreciate the call. I don't think I even realized South Jersey and Blackwood had a Dave & Buster's. Must be newer. But Dave & Buster's is an interesting move for the game. I mean, it's like a sports bar vibe, but that's more of like a hangout. Like to go play games and, like, you know, on a Sunday when your team isn't playing. I don't know. I don't know if Dave & Buster's would be my Super Bowl pick. I get people are doing it. Well, I don't know if it'd be my choice.
Well, now that he's outed himself as a Commanders fan and he doesn't have to watch,
but he said he's going out with Eagles fans.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Wouldn't be my move, but listen, no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone. Want to know where you're watching. 215-592-9494. All right. As alluded to in the last break, Tom Brady, again, in that same interview with Colin Cowherd, had a second interesting thing to say about facing a Steve Spagnuolo defense. You know, we talk a lot about Mahomes. We talk a lot about Andy Reid. But this defense that Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and this entire offense, Kellen Moore, is going to go up against is difficult. And it might be one of the best defensive minds, if not the best defensive mind in the league right now, and the toughest task they're going to see all season long, not just because it's on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. So here was Tom Brady on the difficulties he faced when going up against Spags.
Unless a quarterback has total operational control of what he's doing, it's going to be very hard against the Spagnuolo defense because Spags is going to put so much pressure on the protections and on the offensive line and on the quarterback to sort things out after the snap because some things look a bit unconventional. They're all on the right and they come to the left. They're all on the left and they come from the right. And everyone's spinning the defense at the snap of the ball. And it gets very difficult for the quarterback if you're not anticipating where the problems might be. And you may get lucky every once in a while to make a play work, but I just remember the Super Bowl I played against Spags when I was at the Bucks late in the career. And I felt like I had studied so much film for 2 weeks. There was really no blitz he could use that I wasn't going to be prepared for.
Yeah.
And when something looked a little funky based on my film study, I had an answer for it. And I had tried to have answers to his pressures. But that took a veteran quarterback who had a great understanding of the protections, who could apply a lot of different tools to get it protected. And then I was able to go out there and play with a lot of confidence.
Right. So Steve Spagnuolo, obviously a really, really, has a really strong resume as a defensive coordinator. Now, Kyle's saying this in my ear as we're playing that clip. Like, what he didn't mention there is that he was the defensive coordinator for the Giants in 07, too, when the 07 Patriots were undefeated up to that point, scored 14 points in the Super Bowl. Like, he's going to throw a lot at Jalen Hurts in this game. He's very, very difficult to pick apart as a defensive coordinator. And he, if there's a weakness on the offense, he will expose it, right? And this is going to be a difficult task for Jalen Hurts. And that's why the margin for error is going to be so razor thin. If Tom Brady had trouble, and he was a veteran at that point, going up in year 20 of his career with the Buccaneers before he felt like he could get to a point of mastering what Spags was going to throw at him, watching so much film that he knew that this blitz pickup and that blitz pickup was going to throw them off a little bit, that it's coming from the right, but it looks like it's coming from the left or vice versa. Jalen Hurts, historically, not necessarily great against the blitz, doesn't always look phenomenal when pressure's on him. I think that's one of the huge, huge storylines going into this game. And if he looks uncomfortable early, that is not a good sign for Jalen Hurts in this offense. Saquon Barkley, obviously, the run game is going to have success as it does almost every single game. But if they're able to contain Saquon to a point where Jalen Hurts needs to make quick decisions and he's doing so against the blitz, that's a concern of mine. It's a huge concern of mine. And I just really, really hope that Jalen Hurts has a full understanding of this offense and we see the guy we saw last week, not the guy who we've frankly seen the majority of the season. Again, he's been good. This is no disrespect of Jalen Hurts. He's been good, but he has not played great the way he did last year for the majority of the season. And against the Spags defense, going to be very, very difficult. It was literally that difficult for the GOAT. 215-592-9494. Let's say what's up to Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
Yo, Dan, what's up?
So you're going to be watching this game on a cruise?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even though I just got hurt, but I'm coming off injury and I'm going on a cruise. I'll be watching on a cruise.
All right, where's the cruise going?
Bahamas, Montego Bay, and Cayman Islands.
Listen, you're always going somewhere, Ben. All right, so you're literally, is there like a watch party on the cruise? Do you know what the setup is there?
I have no idea. I asked them. They said they're going to have a Super Bowl party, but they didn't, you know. I just got my Eagles Super Bowl jersey yesterday, so
okay.
I'm gonna be rocking the Eagles gear all around the ship.
I got you. All right, so Bam, what are you thinking for this game? Who's got more pressure on them?
I'm going with you, brother. I'm going with you. I think the Eagles got more pressure than anything right now because they had something to prove to the city.
Proved to themselves, proved to like to cement their careers. I mean, they. Again, there's no guarantees in life, but there's certainly no guarantees that they would ever get a third chance. This might be the Eagles' best chance to ever win a Super Bowl. Or like not as a franchise, but Hurts and Sirianni. Saquon,
yeah,
too.
Hurts and Sirianni era, I think it's going to be the best shot right here.
You got a score prediction for us?
Let's go 27-13.
Oh, all right, a 14-point. Blowout. Bram, I appreciate the call. Listen, if they hold Patrick Mahomes to 13 points, lights out. Not quite as optimistic as Bam is. Watching on a cruise, interesting move. I don't know if I'd be going on a cruise Super Bowl Sunday, but what's the crowd going to be like going to the Bahamas? You're not going to have a locked-in crowd on Carnival or Royal Caribbean. That's going to be like a vacation atmosphere. You go on a cruise maybe to watch the Super Bowl if it's two teams you don't really care about.
I know that everybody always says you can't plan around like your life around a sports team.
You can,
but you absolutely can.
Super Bowl Sunday,
exactly.
When the Eagles are this good,
yes. I'm not making any plans in January or February when your team's this good to potentially have to watch on a plane or a cruise or something. I can't do it.
Unbelievable. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right. On the other side, Jalen Hurts spoke yesterday down at the NovaCare Complex. Two funny sound bites. Number one is he tried to clear up a quote-unquote joke he made after the game on Sunday. And number two is he got a little unpleasant, a little snippy in response to one of the questions he faced yesterday. So we'll play both of those for you next, as well as Rock Your Calls. Again, you're listening to Dan Wilson. Another voice you hear is Kyle Forcini. He is behind the glass, taking you up till 10 a.m. this morning right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forcini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. In just a minute here, I have two sound bites from Jalen Hurts' press conference yesterday that we must tackle. But first, we got to go back on the phone lines to David in South Philly, who, David, in addition to answering who has more pressure in this game, I think you have a pretty cool place you're watching this one. What's up, David?
Hey. This is a rare opportunity, so the place to watch the game is at Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana.
I mean, that's pretty cool. So, season ticket holder, did you get tickets through some back channel? Did you fork over the money? How'd this come together?
I am a season ticket holder, but the lottery is, like, even impossible from that standpoint. So, it's just about kind of waiting out the price drops. There's different graphs you can look at when they tend to kind of come to a more reasonable standpoint, and then just forking out the money and just saying, look, this is a priority. And it seems like they go a lot, but you know, for the first 2+ decades of my life, they never made it to a Super Bowl. And then it took another decade and a half for them to make it back. So it doesn't come around often. Got to jump on it when it does happen. I was in Minneapolis. I was in Arizona.
Okay. So you've been to a couple of Super Bowls here already.
Yeah, I've seen them win. I've seen them lose. You know, there's no guarantee that it's all going to be worth it, so to speak, but it's about the experience, and I think they're going to win this time.
So, were you at the NFC Championship last week / other NFC Championships at this point?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. I always wonder about, I've never been to a Super Bowl. I've watched it on TV, watched NFC championships on TV. The crowd at the Super Bowl always kind of fascinates me a little bit. It's a very, it always looks like a pretty corporate crowd, a lot of people who are, you know, there who maybe aren't diehards of either team. And, you know, it's the who's who of celebrities there and big, rich, powerful people. Whereas, like, you know, the conference championship is, you know, 70,000 rabid Eagles fans in the link. Like, I got to, like, even when the Eagles won in Minnesota however many years ago, it's to say half the stadium's going nuts probably isn't even accurate. It's probably more like a third because there's a third there who's kind of neutral on the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty sterile environment for that reason. I mean, they do play your own fight songs when you win.
Sure, it's
they
a neutral
do
site.
Have some of the songs that they, you know, will play on your defense when it's like a third down, that type of stuff. But yeah, the environment in an NFC Championship game is the most electric. The 70,000 people just, you know, partying, knowing that they're going to the Super Bowl. That the past three NFC Championships have all been that way. After about halftime, you kind of knew.
Well, and they were all blowouts too,
right? But yeah, the Super Bowl, it's just a spectacle, and you know your team is there, and when that confetti comes down, it's.
I'm sure there's nothing like it. All right, so who do you think who's got more pressure in this game, Eagles or Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs actually have more pressure in this one. I mean the Eagles are on house money. I mean it's not a dynasty. It was only a matter of weeks ago that we were talking about firing our coach and finding a new franchise quarterback, and then things kind of came together. A lot of the year we've been complaining about we're winning, but we're not winning in convincing fashion. We're not throwing the ball. We've got drama. The Chiefs, they lost one game this year. I mean, all of their games have been squeakers, and it seems like luck and officiating tend to help them in the margins, but they're trying to do something in the NFL that's never been done. We're just trying to get what's ours.
No, I hear you. I don't know if I buy that the Eagles are playing with house money here. I mean, that house, like, that would more apply to, say, the Commanders last week. I think there's a real expectation internally for the Eagles to win this game, and if they lose, I don't think the reaction on Monday is going to be, well, they got to the Super Bowl, that's a successful year, the way we talked about the 22 Phillies. Like, I think there's a real expectation to win the game, and a real, if they don't win, we're not going to look a back on this season nearly as favorably as if they do.
We're never going to be satisfied. I mean, like, even in the 2017 season, when Nick Foles is taking us to the promised land, we would have been upset if they lost that game, too.
I know, but there was a much lower expectation, especially nationally, to win that game. They were clear underdogs in that game. This is a point-and-a-half line. I mean, it's pretty close to a pick 'em.
I agree. You know, I don't think it's a commanding lead from a pressure standpoint, but in terms of where is it lean a little bit heavier, I would say it's on the Chiefs.
All right, David, I got you, and I appreciate the call. People are really on the three-peat thing. If it wasn't going against the Eagles, it is pretty cool. I mean, that is history that we have literally never seen before. And it's the only sport where we've never seen a three-peat. It's happened in baseball, most recently with the Yankees in the 90s into the early 2000s. The Lakers three-peated in the early 2000s. In hockey, I know it's happened, but it's not in our lifetime, I don't believe, Kyle. But it's happened in all the others. It is definitely the hardest to make it happen in football. What the Chiefs have done is nothing short of incredible and nothing short of, like, they are the exception of the rule, clearly, if the Patriots never did it. The Patriots did 3 in 4 years, and then, you know, and the Eagles actually prevented a three-peat, in theory, by beating them in Super Bowl 52 because they won against the Falcons the year before, and they won against the Rams the year after. That's another great example, by the way. Everyone said the Falcons would be back after that game. They ever return? Like, no. So, I don't know. I think, just to me, and I get it, I'm biased. I'm an Eagles fan. Feels like there's more pressure on the Eagles to win this game. No guarantees they get back. I don't agree at all that there's house money in this game. Maybe there was a little bit more of that sentiment 2 years ago when Jalen Hurts was 24 and it was their first time there. This is your second time back. You got to win it. And if you don't win it, we're all going to spend all offseason talking about what went wrong in this game, not celebrating what an amazing journey it was to get to this point. Again, the same way we did with the 22 Phillies or the 01 Sixers or other or the 93 Phillies, other magical runs that fell short in the end. We remember those long seasons, what a great journey they were. That's not going to be the case here. This season needs to end with a Super Bowl, and I want to know if people agree at 215-592-9494. Now, two quick things from Jalen Hurts' press conference, his media availability yesterday. Number one, a lot was made of his straitjacket comment after the game on Sunday, where he said that he was finally let out of the straitjacket, throwing all over the field on Sunday in the NFC Championship game. He was asked about it yesterday. Here's what the Eagles quarterback had to say.
In talking with us the other day, Nick said that you were joking, or he perceived it as a joke with the straitjacket comment. Was it intended as a joke?
Just joking around after the game.
I'll tell you, for a guy who jokes around, he never gives you more than like just a very, very subtle smirk. Probably a little bit of truth behind every joke. Maybe he realized he shouldn't have said it, walked it back a little bit. I do think there's at least part of him that believes he was probably allowed to do more and he showed more of his talent on Sundays as a competitor, being coached to really just play mistake-free football, hand the ball off a lot. I'm sure he hears the noise of people thinking he's not elite or not some great quarterback because they don't fully use him in the passing game the way other teams are used. I'm sure he felt like he was allowed to flap his wings a little bit last Sunday. So I'm glad he's trying to walk it back and say he was joking. I tend to believe there was a little bit of seriousness to it. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was he got asked a question about the last time he played in Super Bowl 2 years ago against the Chiefs. Wasn't thrilled with the question. Here it is.
What's your most vivid memory of that Super Bowl?
Next question.
What did you learn from that and that you can apply to returning?
There we go. I think hindsight, you know, from a perspective that everyone's not really experienced that before, you know, everything that comes with the week, I think that there's something that's big is just being of good influence on the guys that haven't been there before, being able to answer questions and open that door so everyone's that much closer when we go out there and experience, you know, because in the end it's a business trip, and it's an opportunity that we've worked for to have, and we want to take advantage of.
Kyle, my favorite part of that entire clip is there we go. Like, finally, it's about time I got a good question around here. He's just trying to make the media better. He didn't like the first phrasing of the question, so he needed to hear the second phrasing of, all right, well, what can you do? What can you spread to the other guys, which gave him the opportunity to share, yeah, I'm going to answer questions for guys who haven't been there before, be the veteran leader. He's done litigate, you know, rents due every day, dog mentality. He's done talking about the game 2 years ago. Either you win or you learn. He's already done his learning.
Gave him a little Dak Prescott impression there. Gave him a little here we go the question.
There we go.
That's all he's doing.
His relationship with the media is a funny one because he's just so stoic and like so over the top serious. I was saying this to Tom the other night. He has a chance to rival Marshawn Lynch's, like, I'm just here so I won't get fined, like, level of bad media night availability. He's going to get, this is a second time around, he's all business. He's going to give that crowd nothing. A lot of shenanigans at Super Bowl media night. You know, you got, like, Guillermo walking around from Jimmy Kimmel and people walking around in costumes. He's going to have time for no one's BS. He's going to give the shortest answers possible.
That's why I was so surprised.
He already doesn't like the serious Philly media, like their questions. You think he's going to like Super Bowl media night?
Yeah, the national media's got no chance.
No shot.
I was so surprised after the Rams game when he was so willing to talk and give answers, and he's talking about playing in the snow. You never see him do that because he's always doing what you just played, giving you nothing.
And even when he makes a joke, air quotes joke, like the straitjacket thing, it never comes out like a joke. Like,
never.
I can't picture Jalen Hurts like telling a joke to a bunch of guys in the locker room. It wouldn't come out like it would, like they'd be like, are you serious? Like, was that the punchline? His delivery and cadence just doesn't seem like a funny person.
Not at all.
I don't think it's in there. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right, one segment left to go. Gonna get to as many phone calls as possible. But also, Kyle, you and I are big Phillies fans, and spring training obviously right around the corner. Always cool when you see members of another Philadelphia sports team supporting the local group. So they obviously, a number of the pitchers and catchers and some guys going down for early workouts already reporting to Clearwater. Rob Thompson's already down there. But the question is, what are their plans to watch the Super Bowl? We got to address that next. Pretty cool stuff from the Phillies manager. 215-592-9494. Again, Dan Wilson with you. That other voice you hear there is Kyle Forcini. One segment left to go here until the top of the hour at 10 a.m. It'll be Rob Ellis and Mike Sielski at that time right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Kyle Forsini is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you get in here. If you missed any part of today's show, it will be podcasted on the WIP Nights and Weekends page. Of course, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app as well. Again, here with you for one last segment. Our question, if you're just joining us on this morning's show, is who has more pressure on them to win this game, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I've heard a lot of people say this week, it's the Chiefs. I get it. They're the favorite. They're the team closing in on a three-peat, but Mahomes and Reed, they've done this before. A lot, you know, Travis Kelce, a lot of guys on that Chiefs team, they've already done this before. At the end of the day, if they fall short, they'll still go down as one of the better, you know, NFL dynasties ever. They're still going to be up there on their resume with four, five, maybe six Super Bowl rings when all is said and done. I'm not feeling too bad for the Chiefs if they lose this game, right? It's like when a billionaire loses a little bit of money in the stock market. They're doing all right. They're going to be doing just fine. We need this one, right? I know the Eagles won 7 years ago, but Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, they need this one. Just get me one for these guys. And if they get this one, then I can rest easy knowing that hopefully we'll have more chances in the future, but at least they have that one in the bank. If they don't, I will wonder and worry for an entire offseason whether this was their best chance and whether they'll ever have a real shot to get back and challenge a team. Again, very likely, again, the Chiefs, they're not going anywhere anytime soon, and I think they've proven that and proven they're the exception to the rule over a half decade here. 215-592-9494. All right, one last thing before we go back to the phone lines to close out the show. I always find it cool when fellow athletes, or I always enjoy watching the dichotomy of the sports teams in town. I think it's a pretty cool sports culture we have here in Philadelphia, because you go to a city like New York, they got two, in the case of hockey, three teams for everything, if you include the New Jersey Devils in that metropolitan area. A lot of things, a lot of things get drowned out. Like, you're playing for the Yankees, you got two football teams that, in theory, you know, if either one of them ever went on a playoff run, you got the Giants and the Jets, and then you got the, you know, the Knicks and the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Like, there's so much going on in New York, you probably don't see the support cross sport as much. I think Philadelphia is most like Boston or most like Chicago in terms of sports culture. I know Chicago is two baseball teams, but in that they're four for four cities, they got, you know, one sport for the, you know, one team for the most part in all things. And, you know, when the team goes on runs, maybe you see the other teams on social media are openly supporting them. Last week you saw Gershon Yabusele at the Eagles game. Embiid's been to Eagles games in the past. You know, there have been Phillies players at Eagles games. Bryce Harper has at least publicly turned in his Cowboys fandom to be an Eagles fan. I remember Reese Hoskins went to the Super Bowl years ago. Sometimes you'll see Eagles or Sixers players at Phillies games. A lot of Flyers players have been to Phillies games. A lot of cross-town support. So I always wonder, you know, what's the move on, like, you know, a big playoff game or a big Super Bowl Sunday type of game? Kind of curious to see what the Sixers do. I hope someone asked Nick Nurse, because they got a 2 p.m. game in Milwaukee on Super Bowl Sunday. You used to hear stories about teams, like, staying in the city to watch the game. Now they have Wi-Fi on these planes, so they theoretically could watch it on the flight back. I don't know, maybe they stay in Milwaukee in the hotel and they run out of room and have a Super Bowl party, especially with the Eagles playing. Obviously, some guys on the team have taken interest in the fact that they're, you know, playing really well in town. It's everywhere you look. Paul George is getting caught on Broad Street. Have no idea where the hell he was going, by the way. But you have to imagine that you're living in a city, it's hard not to get swept up in a Super Bowl run like that, especially in a town like Philly. So, Rob Thompson, he was on the Philly show with Todd Zielecki, Jim Salisbury, Ruben Amaro Jr., and they asked him point blank. He's already in Clearwater with some of the guys. A, who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl? No surprise in his answer there. But also, you know, what's the move on Super Bowl Sunday?
Got to ask you right off the bat, who are you picking for the Super Bowl?
Oh, Eagles.
where are you guys going to watch that? Because you guys will all be down there, right? I mean, everybody will be down there. You guys have like a big group thing planned yet already, or what?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're gonna all get together and watch it one of the places here in Clearwater, and it's going to be a good time.
Like, I hope one of the Phillies players is recording in that room. Like, are these guys getting into the game, or they're kind of just hanging out? Obviously, I know they didn't grow up diehard Eagles fans, except unless you're like Buddy Kennedy or something, but. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, if you if I was an athlete in another city, you can acknowledge I didn't grow up a fan of this team, but because I'm living in that city, because I moved there, you start feeling the energy, and it, I'm sure as an athlete too, it motivates you to win even more seeing how people are supporting the Eagles. So I thought that was pretty cool as well, and hopefully we get word on what the Sixers are doing. Flyers are off. I don't know if they'll be getting together at all, but or if those guys are as into football as, you know, a lot of non-Americans who didn't grow up watching football. But Rob Thompson, he's Canadian, right? And to hear that he'll be going to the Super Bowl party and supporting the Birds, sounds like a good time and always cool when you hear stuff like that. 215-592-9494. Let's say good morning to Steve in Cherry Hill. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Dan, great show. Nice talking to you, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm totally with you. This is definitely more pressure on the Eagles. You know, they're the reigning champions, and we have a couple of rookies. They have more players that have been there before. It's just darn right. And I think the only reason the spread's only 1.5 is because, you know, most bettors want to bet the Eagles because they want them to win because everybody's sick of KC. So I think that line should be like 2.5. I'm hoping that God Hurts shows up, but he's still not consistent in my book. He's played a couple good games, and I believe that. But who are you going to take, Holmes or Hurts? And it's obvious Holmes is better, and that's the God's given truth. And I think
of course he's the best in the league. He's the better quarterback in every game he plays.
And I think they're going Barkley. They're going to key him and let Hurts beat him, and I hope he does. My fingers are crossed, but I'm not so sure. So, I'm an old Eagle fan. I've been going since 69, since I was 8 with my dad. So, big fan, but my heart is with him. But I just hope to God I'm wrong, and I just think KC's going to win. I'm sorry to say, Dan.
Hey, Steve, where are you watching this game? You going out? You staying in? What's the move on Super Bowl Sunday?
Actually, I'm entering my first chili contest in Hamilton, New Jersey at 3, and I'll be home by 6:30.
Wait, what kind of contest?
A chili. I'm a big
There's a chili a 3 p.m. Super Bowl Sunday chili contest. But
in Hamilton, New Jersey, my first. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be home just in time for the game, watching the game with just 3 people, and that's me. I really like the focus.
Okay, me too, Steve. I appreciate the call. Wow. Interesting choice for a local chili contest. Like, put that on a different day. What are we doing with a 3 p.m. Super Bowl Sunday chili contest, Kyle? I mean, poor timing on that on their part.
I don't think I could have guessed that was going to be said on the show today.
I did not have that on the bingo card.
Potentially may miss part of the Super Bowl
for a chili contest. All right, let's get one more call in here. Drew in Westchester. Got about 60 seconds.
Oh, hey, Dan.
Hey.
Yeah, real quick. I agree with you. The pressure is on the Eagles. Number one, because we just lost to this team 2 years ago in the same darn game, so when you're coming back for your second chance, I mean, the pressure's on you not to go 0-2.
Exactly. So, I don't want to join the 49ers and go 0-2. We don't know that they're going to get a third crack at them.
And then you don't think that Jeff Lurie, you think he wants to go 1-3 in Super Bowls? I mean, from the owner down, I mean, Jeff Lurie does not want to be 1-3 in the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni, with all the talk about him that's out there, back and forth, national media, whatever, some people call him a clown. I mean, you think he doesn't want to get this?
Of course he wants it. He's dying to get over that hump.
Yeah, and then to lose to Andy Reid, of all people, again, is another reason why the pressure. We have to even the score with him. Okay,
Drew, 100%. I said this earlier in the show, Andy Reid is like that ex where for a while there it felt like, all right, we got married, now he can get married. But now he's walking around, it feels like he's walking around with a supermodel and he's shoving it in our face how much better he's doing in the post-breakup relationship.
Yeah, and last, just real quick, just think about it. If you were a Chiefs fan, you're basically giggling to this game. You've won 3 Super Bowls in the last, whatever, 5-6 years. I mean, it's like you're happy and drunk just being there. So, I mean, the pressure is on us.
Drew, 100% with you. I'm not feeling too bad for Chiefs or their fans if they don't win this game. Really quick, where are you watching this one? At home or are you going out?
Well, I've got logistical challenges because my kids are big and they're all over the country. So we're trying to figure out flights and where we could possibly be. So it's a work in progress.
Okay. Well, Drew, that sounds pretty cool. Appreciate the call. Yeah, you got to watch this game with the people who matter most. You know, these moments don't come around all that often. Philadelphia, not exactly title town. You got to seize these moments when they come around. All right. Appreciate everyone who called in today. Fun show, as always. I will be back with you again next week in the same time, 8 to 10 a.m., the day before Super Bowl Sunday. So very much looking forward to that. Thank you so much for Kyle Forsini. Thanks so much to Kyle Forsini for producing. Rob Ellis, Mike Sielski, they got you next from 10 to 1 right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.